Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm Tiki Barber, sitting in solo. BT is out again today. There's lots and lots to get in to. Obviously, Game 5 of the NBA Finals last night was an epic one for lots of different reasons. The Women's World Cup is kicking off for the United States Women's National Team in Reims, France, against Thailand. They've dominated Thailand the last time they played them. I think 2016, they beat them 9-0. So hopefully that's an easy walk as the Women's World Cup kicks off in a couple of minutes here, but we'll keep an eye on that as well. John Calipari joins us in our second hour, 4:15 Eastern, that'd be 1:15 Pacific, to talk a lot of things, college basketball, and obviously we'll dig into the emotion around this Kevin Durant injury, re-injury, deeply. You can get in touch with us, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or hit us up on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. The thing that struck me the most about this game, there's a few things that I take away when I watched NBA games, or really any games. But last night, there was a couple things that jumped out. One, I was somewhat disappointed in the Raptors fans for cheering KD's injury. That maybe they didn't understand how the severity of it, but quickly, I was encouraged by seeing the Raptors players, mainly Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry, quieting down the crowd. That was encouraging because when he walked off, you could see them clapping. But it was rooting for someone to get injured is never a good thing. I also will question Nick Nurse and what in the heck were you doing with two minutes and 50 seconds left when you called a timeout. But when you actually dig into it, maybe what Klay Thompson had to say after the game explains it a little bit. He might have been right, even though it didn't feel like he was right. And then lastly, the Warriors, every time you count them out, because if you remember when we left this show yesterday evening, I thought the Raptors were closing this one out. They were going to win it in five at home. They were going to have a celebration for all ages up in Toronto. But this Warriors team, as much as you want to discount them, as much as you want to say even without their best player, there's no way they're getting it done against this Nick Nurse squad and this excellence of Kawhi Leonard. They have a resiliency about them that you just can't explain, and you can't put your finger on it because it's guys stepping up like Quinn Cook or even Draymond, who's not a great shooter, knocking down big three-pointers when it matters. They've come from behind from 3-1 before. We saw it with OKC in the Western Conference Finals. We saw it a few years back in the NBA Finals. Against the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals as well. So we've seen it a couple of times from this team. They know how to thrive in this situation. It will be harder for them to thrive without Kevin Durant. And the thing that struck me about people talking about this was the emotion around Kevin Durant's injury. We knew he was hurt. He's been hurt for a month now, 32 days, I believe, he's been on the shelf. And we knew that the calf injury was probably a little bit more than just a mild calf strain. It likely had a lot of creeping into his Achilles. And despite the hope and optimism that he would somehow come back and be the player that he always was, he kind of looked like it, to be honest with you. 11 points in 12 minutes, and he knocked down all his three-pointers. He looked like KD until he tried to be explosive. And that's when his Achilles gave out. You watch a slow-mo video, you can see the reverberation up his leg, which is the telltale sign of an Achilles rolling up. And the answer or the question about whether or not he should have been playing, it's neither here nor there. You can't blame it on the coaching staff. You can't blame it on the medical staff. At the end of the day, it's on the player. You know your body. Kevin Durant felt like he could play. He went out there and played. You saw him pregame. He was dunking. He was dancing in the hallway. He looked like he was ready. And yeah, maybe he was going to be sore, but as we all know from those kids' songs, everything is connected, right? The calf is connected to the ankle, and the ankle is connected to the Achilles, all those things. It's all connected, and it was too much, and it snapped. Bob Myers, when he sat down to explain this, and I didn't listen to this live. I read the transcript, and fortunately, I'm glad I listened to it live because there was real emotion in his voice. Right, so the what happened in the game and the fact that they won and they survived to fight another day, nobody wanted to talk about that after the game, particularly Bob Myers. And we tend to put players into, we make them less than human. And the humanity of Bob Myers' statement on Kevin Durant is kind of what struck me most. Here's Bob Myers after the game talking about Kevin Durant.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team. It was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors. And we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world. And if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
I mean, he wasn't crying, but he was damn near crying. And he's only been there for 3 years. He's two seasons, obviously back-to-back championships and finals MVPs, and going into his third year. There's so much speculation about what he's going to do with his contract. Let's not forget, he does have a year left on his contract. He's widely thought to that he's going to opt out of that contract and then go sign a free agent deal somewhere else. But given that he just tore his I'm going to speculate. It's hard. It's bad to speculate, but I'm going to say he tore his Achilles or damaged his Achilles significantly in some way. He's likely going to get the max regardless, but he might not play at all next season. And if he does, it's going to be late in the season. So with the option to keep his 1 year opt-in and just opt-in as opposed to opting out, he could be a Warrior next year. But I was struck, and it maybe informed me a little bit more about what's happening with Kevin Durant than just he's going to bounce and leave after this season because he wants to go be the savior of the Knicks or create his own platform to win a championship on, all these things that we've talked about all year. This feels like there's more to it than that. And, Bob Myers, talked a little bit about Kevin Durant's emotions. Because over the last couple of days, prior to this Game 5, there were some articles written. One was by Sam Amick in the Athletic, talking about anonymous sources in the Golden State locker room saying things like, "We're just not sure why he's not playing. He looks like he's okay. He's walking around," and not really questioning his heart or his desire to be there, but kind of questioning his heart and desire to be there. And I guess this is what happens when you have long layoffs in between games. You just start filling it with nonsense. And this kind of was nonsense. And Bob Myers spoke to this, not directly. He didn't mention it directly, but it's clearly what he's alluding to. And you should hear it. Here's Bob Myers again.
Basketball has gotten him through his life. So it means, I don't know that we can all understand how much it means to him. Just wants to play basketball with his teammates and compete.
And he also said, Kevin Durant's one of the most misunderstood people, and I wish people could get to know him. And he's right. Think about our history with Kevin Durant. When he won the MVP back in 2015, I believe, 2014, or I think it was 15, and he gave this unbelievable speech. His mother, Wanda, was there, and it was amazing. And then you hear him start to get criticism in Oklahoma and OKC, and there's that one article that's written, and all of a sudden he turns into like gangster KD. He's just moody and angry and distrustful of people. And ultimately it led to his departure. He left an OKC team that had pushed the Golden State Warriors to the brink in the Western Conference Finals, and then goes and joins them the next year. And you start to feel like, who is KD, right? Is he this nice, great young man who won this MVP and gave this heartfelt, you know, talk, or is he this disgruntled guy who feels unappreciated, even as great as he is in Oklahoma City? And then he obviously comes to the Golden State Warriors. He wins two finals MVPs back to back, and the narrative changes a little bit more. He's grown, he's mature, he's deep. When you hear him talk, he's not, you know, I'm just a baller. I'm gonna dunk in your face. He's not a trash talker. It's not him, right? He's just got this complex personality about him that clearly connects with a lot of people, including Bob Myers, the president of basketball operations out for the Golden State Warriors. And so when I hear that, and I know we've been speculating for a year now, Kevin Durant is definitely leaving. Kevin Durant is going to the Knicks. I'm not so sure. And I'm not so sure that Bob Myers believes that that's true. Bob Myers feels like he's talking about a player who he's grown with over a decade. He's been with him for 2 years. So clearly there's something deeper here than just KD wants to go drive his own ship. Now, there'll be a lot of speculation about what's going to happen now. Knicks fans are probably disgruntled and upset because with KD coming off a torn Achilles, the likelihood of him leaving is lesser. But I think it's important to think about KD, the person in this moment, not KD, the savior. With that being said, it leads me to, I think, as much as I hate to say it, the good thing that comes from Kevin Durant being injured. For the last four games, it's felt like the Golden State Warriors, other than Steph, who was amazing, other than Clay, the Splash Brothers, who was also amazing, especially last night, especially defending Kawhi Leonard. Other than that, a lot of these guys seemed like they were waiting around, anticipating Kevin Durant's return so that Kevin Durant could save them. They don't need Kevin Durant, or they can't count on Kevin Durant to save them. Is that a good thing? We'll explore it. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. KD being gone could be a good thing for the Warriors. It could be exactly what they needed to get back on the right track. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. You need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or directly to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly O Rewards loyalty member and you'll earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. Keeping an eye on the Women's World Cup. The United States is already up 2-0 against Thailand. Alex Morgan scored the first goal in the 12th minute, and there was just a goal. Lavelle in the 18th minute or so. This should be an easy win for the United States, for the good guys today, but we'll keep an eye on it for the rest of the show. Talking, obviously, the Golden State Warriors and their big Game 5 win up in Toronto, and the fact that KD played on a bum calf, ultimately an Achilles injury that puts him down for the rest of the series. And probably a good portion of next year as well. And as we mentioned, this could be a good thing for Warriors fans if they want to find a way to hold on to KD, because he's not going to be able to play for a good portion of next season. But here was my thought as this happened, and it happened in real time, obviously watching the game. Kevin Durant was off to a ridiculous start. I mean, every shot he seemed to take, it was going in. All his three pointers were going in. He knocked down, three of them. He had 11 points. He was rebounding the ball. He had a block. I mean, he looked like Kevin Durant that we've grown to love over the last couple of years. And then obviously he goes down with an injury. And in your mind, you're saying, "Oh, well, that's it. They've put all their hope and their dreams into Kevin Durant's return, and now it's just a matter of time before the Toronto Raptors find a way to come back and do what they've done for the last few games." But that didn't happen, and part of it is Steph, the Splash Brothers, and Klay Thompson were unbelievable, knocking down three-pointers after three-pointers. They shot 50% from three-point range, and especially in the second half. But I looked at this injury after you got over the shock of it, is kind of a good thing, not necessarily in Game 5, because the letdown had to be enormous, and players and coaches talked about how big of a letdown was. Steve Kerr said, yeah, it was a good win, but it was also a great loss, and he's right. But for the last three or four games, it's felt like, this is outside of Game 2, which they won, obviously, it's felt like the Golden State Warriors are just, they've been waiting. Right, they're giving it their all. They seem like they threw Game 3, obviously, because Klay didn't play. And I use that word flippantly, but they didn't have any shooters. They didn't have any scores. So it was just desperate, unbelievably desperate for KD to come back. It's all anybody wanted to talk about. When's KD going to come back? When's KD going to come back? When's KD going to come back? And you start putting all of your hope and dreams into a guy who's compromised. And when he comes back and you lose him, now permanently, it forces you and snaps you into reality. Like, we can't rely on Kevin Durant right now. There is a series to be won. We're coming back home, which will be the last game in Oracle. There was speculation that Game 4 was going to be the last game in Oracle. We now know that Game 6 will be the last game in Oracle. But now it's incumbent, and there has to be a sense of urgency for someone to step up. Now, who is that going to be? It could be the Splash Brothers. It could be Klay and Steph doing what they always do, finding ways to get open and knocking down three-pointers and hustling their butts off to be effective. But it also could be Quinn Cook. It's going to be somebody. It could be Draymond, who's been a bad shooter for a lot of this series, even though he did knock down a couple of big threes. It could be Andre Iguodala, who's just afraid to take three-pointers anymore and really shoot. His age has caught up with him. But what they definitely know is it's not going to be Kevin Durant. And it's hard to position that as a good thing, but if you're the Golden State Warriors and you develop this resiliency over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, 6 years maybe, even going back to before they were champions, you have to take this mentality. You can't have sat around waiting for Kevin Durant to come back, and now that he's gone, hold your hands in your head and say, woe is me. You can't. Champions don't play that way, and I don't think Steve Kerr is going to allow his team to play that way. 855-212-4227. Let's get to Chris, who is in North Carolina. Chris, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, man?
Doing, sir.
I am well. What do you got for us?
I really think that everything comes down on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant is a high-powered, multi-million-dollar athlete. If he knew he couldn't go, he should not have gone.
Yeah.
You know? I've tried to see the videos, and it looks like something popped in his leg. I don't know.
Yeah. It looked like it. That this is definitely Achilles. There is the – if you, it's slow-mo. They have it from behind on his right leg. You see his calves just twitch. It's like it's got this involuntary twitching going on. Appreciate your call, Chris. And that's a telltale sign of an Achilles. It's your Achilles snapping at the bottom of your heel and then rolling up your calf. And he reached for it immediately. He was grabbing at it and touching at it, and he had to be helped off the court. And it's likely an Achilles tear. It's unfortunate, but I agree with Chris there. People want to fault whoever, whether it's Bob Myers who put the blame on him, whether it was Steve Kerr for pushing him, whether it's teammates who were some articles written, obviously anonymously, of why he wasn't playing. Ultimately, it's on the player. It's your body, right? You know how you feel. If you truly can't go, then you don't go. He gave it a go. He looked really good, too, for a few minutes. And unfortunately, it didn't last. Let's get to Lamont, who's in Arkansas. Lamont, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What do you got for us?
Thank you very much. Yes, I wanted to ask you, you know, do you think that the Golden State Warriors were the organization may have been putting pressure on Kevin Durant?
Maybe indirectly. I think indirectly. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, when you constantly ask somebody, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's like your kids. I mean, you have kids, Lamont? You know, mm-hmm. you're in the car and they're asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like, you want to tell them, yes, we're almost close to being there, but you know you're nowhere close to them. There's like pressure for you to get there. You like put your foot down a little bit harder on the gas just so your son or daughter will stop asking you if you're there yet. So I think there was pressure, but it wasn't direct pressure. I can't imagine that Steve Kerr goes to Kevin Durant and says, hey, man, we need you to play. You have to be out there and play. And that's what pushed him over the edge. I think Kevin Durant, as the competitor, the champion, the MVP, both of the finals and of the league that he is, saw his team, his brothers, struggling. Right? They all have his back, and it sucks when you lose a guy like that. And it's interesting, and I mentioned it briefly about the response from the Toronto Raptors fans, which was quickly called, but. The response, it angered some of his teammates. Boogie Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, talked about this. Obviously, he's only been a teammate with him for a year, but the NBA is a tight fraternity. Even Serge Ibaka, who's on the other team, was giving some condolences to KD as he walked off. But let's listen to DeMarcus Cousins talk about the reaction from the fans and also his emotions about KD.
What do you think about the people who questioned KD's heart and how long it was taking him to return?
Them.
Some of the fans cheering when he went down.
Trash. So trash. But like I said, we only idolize is superstar athletes, not human beings. It's always about what we can do between those lines. That's it. That's all that ever matters. And then once we lash out and, you know, do human type things, then we're considered bad guys.
It's an interesting take. Because we tend to do that. I'm guilty of it as well. You look at them as figures on a court as opposed to people, as a person. Kevin Durant's hurting right now. His teammates are hurting right now for him. Let's get Rick, who's down in Philly. Rick, welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, what's going on, Tiki?
I am well. What do you got for me, Rick?
Yeah, to me, I think KD was cleared and is good to go, and the unfortunate part of sports is injuries.
Yep.
I just felt like he just... it's just bad luck. Some guys, you see it in your career and across sports, are injury prone or have bad luck with the string of injuries, and it happened to Boogie and Kobe. So I think KD can come back from this, but I do agree with you. I think it probably lines up with it. He's probably going to come back to the Warriors. I would be shocked if he ends up deciding to bolt and go somewhere else. I just feel like the Warriors, it's a brotherhood there and how loyal they are, and I feel like he's probably going to sign a long-term extension. They'll eat that 1 year, and they're good enough to eat that year where they'll still be a competitive team and even a title contender.
Oh, yeah,
without KD. So,
yeah, no, I think you're right, Rick. Yeah, Rick, you make a great point, and I mentioned this earlier. He still has an option, right? That it's not like he's done with the Golden State Warriors. He has an option. A lot of people are speculating that he will opt out and then go elsewhere, like New York Knicks or somewhere else, but still, he can stay. And the Golden State Warriors, of course. I mean, even if he misses 80% of the season, they're still going to be in the postseason and have a chance. And if KD somehow miraculously gets healthy faster and is playing in the postseason, I mean, are you going to count out the Golden State Warriors for being in line for a championship again? Of course not. There's so much that you can point to or at least speculate about who's the fault. And Samter put up a poll here. Who is to blame? This is on Tiki and Tierney. Who is to blame for KD's injury? Samter, what are the options for our Tiki and Tierney followers?
Well, so we start out with the usual suspects. The Warriors medical staff seems to be getting a lot of heat. The coaches in the front office, Kevin Durant himself for putting himself at risk. And then nobody, just bad luck.
Yeah. And
so far right now, 51% say it's nobody's fault. It's just bad luck. 28% have the Warriors medical staff as the lead blamers. Mm. And then the coaches and KD gets the least amount of blame. And by the way, U.S. scored again.
Yeah. Yeah, they did again. 3-0 USA over Thailand right now. This should be a rout. But I'm surprised KD himself is not getting, even though KD, to me, you should have done a slash. KD is synonymous with nobody's fault, because Kevin Durant just wanted to play. And when you're a player and it's part of sport, as Rick just said, our caller, injuries happen. We have inbounds and out of bounds coming up. Keep sending us some tweets, giving us some calls, 855-212-4227. The United States up 3-0 over Thailand. I'm sure Jay Berman will hit that in his update. Update, Jay. The game plan for success is sponsored by Napa. Let's take a look at a team and their plan for success. The St. Louis Cardinals have moved struggling starter Michael Wacha to the bullpen. Wacha Wacha, remember that from years ago with the Royals? In two appearances in relief, Wacha allowed 6 earned runs in 3 1/3 innings, yet Cardinals manager Mike Schilt showed confidence in Wacha, giving him the start against Miami. They are an offensively challenged team, as we all know, tied for the least amount of runs scored in all of baseball. Wacha threw 6 scoreless innings, yet was pulled after just 75 pitches, so he could end his start on a positive note, which hopefully will help turn his season around from a Cardinals perspective. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber sitting in solo today. His BT's out. We're going to do inbounds and out of bounds here in a second. But we were just talking about Team USA. Team USA is dominating this game right now. Obviously, lots of controversy surrounding women's soccer right now. Megan Rapinoe, who is one of their strikers, really vocal on pay equality in soccer. Julie Ertz, we all know because she's with Zach Ertz's wife from the Philadelphia Eagles. So she's trying to match his championship from a couple of years ago. Alex Morgan, she's already scored. Jill Ellis, the new head coach of Team USA, said some interesting, I don't know, back and forth, even though she hasn't really responded, with Hope Solo, the former goalie. So there's a little bit of drama surrounding the U.S. women's national team, but no drama right now as they're dominating Thailand 3-0 in their opening round of Group B of the Women's World Cup. Samty, ready for inbounds, out of bounds? And then we'll get back to some of these calls.
I am now. I just dropped my papers on the ground. So like 4 seconds ago, as you were about to ask me, I'm like, oh, he's about to ask, and I don't got my papers.
See, that's why I was stalling for you. I'm good like that.
I'm ready.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Teek, your favorite time of the year, NFL mandatory mini camps.
Oh.
I'm sure you love this part of the season.
You know what? I would go to them, and I just wouldn't do much. But I like being out there. I like being around. Being
on
the field.
Mandatory camps?
No, I mean, well, yeah, we're talking about mandatory. But the offseason, I liked being around the offseason. I'd go do my own thing anyways. I'd work out with Joe Carini. But I love being there. It's football, man.
So I guess you don't blame Le'Veon or Odell for not being there?
No, I do blame
them. Oh, okay.
Go know your teammates. Your new team.
Yeah, new team is a different story, I guess, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, the mini camps are underway around the league. Many big-name players are fighting for new contracts, leading to holdouts with various teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacksonville Pro Bowler Yannick Ngakoue hasn't reported. Neither has Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones, Texans Jadeveon Clowney, and the 49ers kicker Robbie Gould.
Kicker? Hold up. What?
Kicker! He does not want to play on his franchise tag, interesting that a kicker is holding out. Last year we saw Le'Veon Bell, as we were just talking about, hold out and skip the entire season. So inbounds, out of bounds. At least one of these star players that I mentioned will miss regular season games due to a holdout.
Yannick Ngakoue, I don't think will. That's the comp Tom coughing on you. He's gonna be scared in the reporting. Chris Jones had a heck of a season last year, 15.5 sacks last year. But previous years, it was like an explosion year. He's a D tackle, so I don't think he has too much too many legs to stand on. He's trying to take advantage of his explosive year. Robbie Gould, you already know the answer. He's not going to do him any benefit to hold out. Jadeveon Clowney is the one that makes you scratch your head a little bit. Obviously, he was plagued early. I'm saying out of bounds, by the way. He was plagued early by injuries and whether or not he could stay on the field and be that consistent force. But when J.J. Watt went down a couple of years ago, he became that force. It was pretty impressive to watch. He's never been a high sack tally totaler. I think 9 he had over the last couple of years, each of the last couple of years. But I think ultimately he'll get into camp. Interestingly, how he was handled by their general manager, Brian Gain, who we talked about yesterday, and maybe one of the reasons that they decided to move on from Brian Gain. But I think all these guys will ultimately be in before the regular season starts, so out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
The Anthony Davis trade rumors continue to percolate, like that, percolate,
great
with
word.
The latest talk centering around the Pelicans' desire to include a third team in the deal. Speaking of Anthony Davis, programming note, his former coach, John Calipari, will join us next hour. Kentucky head coach.
Nice insert there, Dan.
See, I'm damn good at this. Now reports have surfaced that AD has narrowed his list of preferred teams down from 4 to 2. Mm. The Knicks and the Lakers. This means that AD has removed the Clippers and the Bucks from that original list, and the Celtics are still not a destination that he would like to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So inbounds, out of bounds. Teams that are not on AD's preferred list to sign a long-term deal should not take the risk and trade for him.
Out of bounds. Are we not watching the NBA Finals with Kawhi Leonard on the Toronto Raptors? Kawhi never said, so we have no idea. It's not like he gave anybody a list. But I don't think the Toronto Raptors were high on it if he had one internally in his head. But Musai Ujiri made the decision to do it anyways, even if it's a one-year gamble. I've built this team to be a winner now. We've talked about it frequently with Siakam and Fred VanVleet. And obviously, Kyle Lowry is the age veteran. You have all these other Powell and Ibaka, all these guys that are just tertiary parts. They were missing. I mean, you're never one guy away. But in the NBA, you can't be one guy away. So if the Celtics or whoever think they're one guy away and they really have done it, they absolutely should try to trade for Anthony Davis, even if he says he doesn't want to be there. Because all that's going to happen is he's going to leave after a year, but his professional pride will not allow him to go out there and lay eggs each and every night. So you know you're going to get his best effort.
The only question I have to what you're saying, because I agree with you. You look at Kawhi, you look at Paul George in OKC. But assume, like with Paul George, you gave up Oladipo, good player, but at the time we didn't realize what he was going to become. But you didn't give up the farm, right? It wasn't like you had to give up everybody.
Yeah.
Same thing for Kawhi. You gave up DeMar DeRozan, but you didn't give up everybody.
It's true.
Right? You ended up getting Danny Green also, which was huge.
But if you're the
add-on
Celtics,
too.
You have pieces to give up.
But that's what I'm saying. If you have to give up, I mean, literally, in order to get AD, and apparently what the Pelicans are asking for is an all-star, a future all-star, and a high draft pick. Right, so that means you have to give up, like,
I mean,
Jason Tatum.
The Lakers can't even do that, can they?
I mean, if you give up, like, a Brandon Ingram, a Lonzo Ball, and the number 4 overall pick,
okay,
maybe that
can... Which one of them is the all-star? And which
or,
one of them
or maybe
is the
Kyle Kuzma.
All-star.
Kyle Kuzma,
yeah, but then you
Brandon
what
Ingram.
What you do with the Lakers?
But see, this is my point, though. If you have to give up your entire... Like, you know, BT talks about this with the Knicks when they got Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
They literally give up their entire roster for Carmelo. So when he got there... They had nothing.
Well,
and we look at the Raptors and their bench.
You asked for the world.
So, like, if you think you're only going to rent him, like, renting works for Kawhi because you gave up one guy, right? Renting works for Paul George because you gave up one guy. Would renting work? Would it be worth the risk to give up your entire team to rent for
AD? I would try.
Is he that good of a player?
If you have enough of the requisite pieces still in place. Now, here's the problem. We didn't value Fred VanVleet the way that we should have. Nobody valued Pascal Siakam the way that he grew into. And the only person who knew that was Nick Nurse and Masai Ujiri. They knew. Like, yeah, okay.
But this team wouldn't have gotten this far with those guys if DeRozan was there instead of Kawhi.
I agree.
They're probably out in the second round, I
would think. Nobody could have expected how good Pascal Siakam was going to be, except for people who knew him internally.
Very good.
Jerry Stackhouse was his coach in the G League, right? He knew.
Are you in or are you out?
The baseball season is nearing its halfway point, and the league office released the first American League All-Star voting results. Remember, this year the league is trying a brand new system in which the top three vote getters from each position, top nine in the outfield, will face off in a 28-hour starters election where the top vote getter from that round will be named the starter. Confusing, but
makes
easy when you think about it.
Yep, top three vote getters at shortstop will be in a 28-hour vote-off.
Correct. So that makes it a little bit easier for certain guys who might not, who might have had a later start to their success.
Why they
to be able to
28 hours, by the way? Do you know? I'm asking you random questions.
So it's a so it's a 4 o'clock deadline. So instead of it being 24 hours, like noon, starting at noon, it's a 4 o'clock deadline. So they do noon to four. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Assuming maybe there's 1 o'clock games that day. That way they can.
That makes sense. It makes sense.
Now, as of yesterday's release, players from 9 of the 15 American League teams will have a shot to start in the Midsummer Classic. So inbounds, out of bounds, the new system will ensure players from a larger variety of teams will start the All-Star game than the previous system.
Yeah, I think inbounds, but it's still not a meritocracy. It's not going to be the best player because, as we know, so this is social media driven. Really, some of these teams had to do a really, really good job of promoting their guys and inundating the voting box. So inbounds, yes, but it's more of a social media thing as opposed to a you actually deserve to be the starter over someone else.
Are you in or are you out?
So just last week, the Braves added former Cy Young winner Dallas Keuchel on a one-year contract. Despite agent Scott Boras saying that Keuchel would only need a week to prepare once signed, most figured it would take closer to a month to get the lefty back up to game speed. However, after being signed, Keuchel shared his agent's optimism, saying he's been pitching seven-inning simulated games every fifth day for the past couple months, and that it wouldn't take him long to be ready. Yesterday, Keuchel proved that he was correct, throwing seven scoreless innings, allowing just one hit and striking out nine in his first minor league start. So inbounds, out of bounds. The Braves should call up Keuchel and start him by next week.
I think inbounds for this. It's you think about his dedication to be ready for when his call-up came. And this is different. This is so unique. He's a former Cy Young winner, world champion, and couldn't find a team. It's the middle of June almost, and he just got on a team after the MLB draft. He's not only focused, he's ready, and he's pissed. Absolutely call him up. Inbounds, without a doubt.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Go ahead, Samter. You wanted to jump in. What do you got?
I mean, it's a 162-game season. And I see that they're like, oh, I could be ready in a couple of weeks. Why take the risk? I mean, I know he's been doing simulated games.
He doesn't throw hard enough for there to be a risk. I mean, what are you going to say? Oh, he's going to throw his arm out? It's not his game.
But doesn't
right?
it just make
he's
sense? Like, just wait a month. Let the guy just really build himself up.
I think he has built himself up.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you're right. He has in simulated games.
I don't
it's
think
different
he's
than
been,
game action.
I don't
action,
think he's been sitting on his couch. Now, he hasn't had the thought process of game planning against pro hitters, but still, the only way you're going to really do that is to do that. So since there's not really a risk for injury, I'd say, you know, why not? Let's get a quick call. Donovan, who's out in Long Island. Donovan, Tiki and Tierney, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I am good, brother. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I just want to talk about last night's game with Golden State. Everybody's talking about Durant.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the last play of the game.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they're going for a three-point play when they're down by 1 point. They're in the bonus. They could have driven to the basket.
Agreed.
Possibly get a foul. Possibly get a layup. I don't know what that play. That was a horrible play.
It was. Look, Nick Nurse made a couple of controversial or bad decisions. One was calling the timeout with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left or so. The other was that last play. But I think there was a reason behind it, and because it wasn't the call, right? The call was for Kawhi to take that shot. And you see, if you watch this, if you go back and rewatch it, Andre Iguodala comes flying up to double Kawhi, and it forces him to get rid of the ball. And once he got rid of the ball, their plan was off. And we're like, oh, what do we do? We're just going to hang around the perimeter and let Kawhi go make a play, whether it's driving or getting a pull-up shot. And because they kicked it around kind of unexpected, Kyle Lowry had to take that last shot, even though they didn't need the three to tie it. They needed a two to tie it. The three would have been a great way to win it. Unfortunately, he was defended too well, like by Draymond Green. Now, if the Raptors, think about this, go on to lose this series, will Nick Nurse's ill-timed timeout that we were just talking about be the fault? So much more to break down about this Raptors game. We'll get to it on the other side of this break. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.